Well, good evening. So this is how you do it. This is how you get a great turnout to Wednesday evening. You name the study Doctrines of Demons, and man, they just come. They just come. Halloween is coming. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk a little bit about that, too. I think we should pray. Should we? Father God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for just the times that we can come together and learn about you, learn about really, in particular through this series, what's going on in the world around us, why there is such a really a wickedness about it, even a departure from you and things of you. And Lord, as we go through this series, I pray, Father, that it would prepare us, that it wouldn't just be something that we take in simply because it's interesting to learn about, maybe exciting to learn about. But Father, I pray that you would use this study to equip us, to help us understand the adversary's tactics. How he does what he does, why the allure is so strong for the world, and Lord, that we can learn these things and not only protect ourselves against these false teachings, but protect our families and perhaps even most importantly, to learn how to counter these things with the truth. Because as we go about our business day to day, Lord, we are going to encounter people that believe some of these things. And I pray that you would equip us to share the love and truth of Jesus Christ with them. Father, I do pray your blessing upon our study tonight. Just thinking as well as Shara came to me, thinking about her sister-in-law who found a spot on her lung, Lord, just pray for her health and your healing in her life. Shara waits the news of what's going on there. I just pray that you would comfort her, comfort that whole family. And we do thank you that Charlotte does know you and, Lord, that she can rest in you through this. Again, just ask your blessing upon our evening. I pray that you would just have your way with it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I forget to, and I probably should have said this earlier, for those of you that in particular live out in the Sun City area, Ed Risto had a little fall today, and he ended up dislocating his left, I think it was elbow, he said. But anyway, it was a severe enough that he cannot drive, and they are in need of, they will be in need of some rides from time to time, probably over the course of the next 2, maybe even 3 weeks, just until his arm's strong enough to where he can drive again. But if that is something maybe you could help with, even if you're not out in Sun City, but I say that because that's where they're at, let me know, and we'll get your phone number to them so that they can kind of have maybe a list of people they can call when they need some help. All right. Welcome to Wednesday nights. Doctrines of Demons is what we're going to be looking at this year. But before we get into anything concerning these doctrines, just real quickly, so we're all kind of on the same page here, what is a doctrine exactly? A teaching, okay? It's a teaching. In fact, the word doctrine and the noun form of the word teaching are synonyms, all right? So we're going to look at teachings of the devil in this world. These will be things, and there's really two sides to what we're going to look at through this study, but we're going to look at things that are either designed by the devil, teachings that he has come up with. I really think that he's the master behind them, but things that he has come up with to keep people from knowing Jesus Christ. Okay, we're going to look at that probably through about the end of January. And then at that point in time, we're going to transition a little bit into doctrines that he abuses, he and his demons abuse. Some of these doctrines that we're going to look at are things that you can actually find in Scripture. Perhaps that he takes out of context or twists and distorts. And what he does is he takes these things and he will use them oftentimes right in the church among you and I to make us, his goal is to make us as useless as he can for our Lord. And you might be asking yourself, why not just call the subject teachings of demons rather than doctrines of demons? And the answer is simple. Doctrines of demons just sounds oh so much better. Just has a ring to it, right?
It gets everybody here. Yeah.
And by the way, that is exactly what Paul calls it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at that passage before we're done here tonight. In fact, quite frankly, it's the only passage we're going to look at. So if you want to turn there and be ready, it's a ways down the road, but that's where we're going to be tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But I want to start off tonight just, I guess, by admitting something to you. Yeah. I had mixed emotions about this study. And there's actually two reasons. One of them I'll fill you in on next week. But the main reason that I had mixed emotions about this study, even though it's something that I really feel like the Lord's been laying on my heart since early this year, and even though he confirmed it, that this is the direction he wanted me to go, actually through a number of conversations that I had with some of you, just talking about the issues of the world and what's going on. But the reason that I had mixed emotions, and the reason I didn't even commit to this topic until about a month ago, is because we are going to discuss some of the teachings that are very, very prevalent in some of the most popular and widely attended religions and beliefs of the world. We're going to discuss those teachings that are very, very plainly contrary to God's word. And what I didn't want this to become, and here's why I had the reservation, what I didn't want this to become was a time of mocking and bashing. Okay? I didn't want this, and I'll just tell you, for good parts of this series, I'm going to do my best to refrain from even naming the religions that we're talking about. We're going to look at basically the core doctrines of some of those religions and counter them with the truth of God's word. But I didn't want this to become a time of mocking or bashing, so I am going to try my best for a good deal of it to not use any religious names, and I'm going to ask that you don't either. I'm going to try to reserve about the last 10 to 15 minutes of every one of these classes to just a basic discussion time. You can ask whatever questions you have, and if I have answers, I will give them to you, but it'll be a time of discussion, a time of more or less conversation. So because of that, I'm going to ask that as best as you can, refrain from pointing out different religious names. And here's why. Here's why. My hope through this study is that there might be people in this community that come to one of these, maybe that don't know the Lord. I can almost guarantee you that there will be people that do not know the Lord that will listen to this series online on our website. Okay, and I don't want them to immediately put up a front and not hear what's being said. I would rather go through the doctrine, what the doctrine is, describe what it is, how the Bible, what the truth of that is, okay, how the Bible counters it, and let the Holy Spirit work in that person's heart rather than them being just you know, put up a front and not even want to listen to it. But we are going to be talking about some amazing, I guess you could say. Now, I can't call it amazing. Amazing should be reserved probably for God. But some unbelievable, they should be unbelievable doctrines that are believed, okay? And with much of what we look at, we're going to focus again on the root doctrines that both keep people from knowing Jesus and keep believers even from being useful, as useful to him as they can. And I just want, does what I've said so far, does it make sense to you? Okay, all right. And it's not because I'm afraid to name those religions, okay? I want you to know that in a one-on-one conversation we can talk. I just want whoever is listening to have every opportunity to hear what the false doctrine is, what the Bible says in response to that, and let the Holy Spirit work in their hearts. All right. So, having said that, the first few sessions in our, in fact, the first half of our series, there will be some areas, okay, it's going to sound like double talk here now, okay, where I have no bones about naming the religion we're talking about. Okay, there's some, for instance, Lord willing, next week we're going to talk about Satanism. And I have no problem naming that we're going to be talking about Satanism, okay? And there's going to be a number of those through this that I have no problems. But you'll understand when we get to some of these other doctrines what I'm talking about, okay? Tonight is more of an introduction than anything else. And in the course of our study, we're kind of going to go from one extreme to the other. We're going to start with teachings that are designed by the devil to keep people from knowing Jesus. And oddly enough, because of man's sin nature, this probably isn't very difficult for him. All right, it isn't difficult for the devil to keep people from knowing Jesus. Our nature all by itself does a really, really good job of that. I think by nature, man is easily kept from the truth about Jesus because man naturally wants to believe what he wants to believe. Somewhere around midpoint, as I mentioned, the end of January, we're going to go to teachings that are abused by the devil to keep us as useless to Christ as possible. And I'll tell you, this is probably the greater focus of the devil. Because if he can take someone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ and get him twisted around and maybe so focused on one particular doctrine and make him useless for Christ, that right there is a win-win for the devil. Okay, because then not only are we so focused on that one doctrine or our understanding of it, but not only that, but we're not even sharing the gospel with other people then too. And that is a goal, I think, really probably where the devil spends most of his time. Lord willing, next week we're going to begin looking at these teachings designed by the devil. We're going to start again kind of at the darkest end of the spectrum, and we're going to begin looking at the occult. All right. These are some that I have no problem naming because they openly and plainly say that we are against God and the Bible. We're going to look at Satanism and then witchcraft, spiritism, Atheism, while it isn't part really of the occult, there are people who claim to be not only Satanists, but they also, oddly enough, claim to be atheists. And I don't know if you've heard, have you heard the name Steve Hill? Anybody know who Steve Hill is?
I have a cousin named Steve Hill.
I don't think it's that one. Is he a sergeant in the U.S. Marines, or was he? All right. Steve Hill is, he is the founder of the, well, I don't know if he's the founder, actually. He is the leader of the California branch of the Satanic Temple. But he is an ex-Marine sergeant, and he is currently running for office in the state of California as a state senator. And I tell you that, and I want you to listen to what he says, because there's more of a connection here in all of this than we might think. He says, and this is actually in one of his political statements, okay? He says, "I am not an establishment politician, and my sense of civic responsibility is not compromised by religious loyalties. As an atheist, an organizer for the Satanic Temple's Los Angeles chapter, I fight for true religious freedom." Hill not only equates, and this is the point I want to make here, he not only equates atheism with Satanism, but he calls atheism a religion. All right? And most atheists will not admit that, but he readily admits that. And I guess my point in all this is Satan's behind it all. He's behind it all. But anyway, we're going to start off with the occult. We'll move into some atheistic type beliefs. But I just want to read you a little bit more here. Let me just give you this. As I went through Steve Hill's website, it almost seems like he's using the Satanic Temple thing as kind of a tongue-in-cheek mockery of those that believe in God, okay? Anyway, but nonetheless, he includes atheism as a religion. He also says that he is a Satanist. And what's so scary about this is I went to the website and I started reading down through some of their tenets and their beliefs. To the casual reader, someone who is open to receive what it is they're saying, what they say on their website is brilliant. Okay, the things that they put forth sound like they really, really make sense. They sound very, very logical. And that right there, that is Satan. Satan is very, very crafty. He is brilliant, and he uses a whole spectrum of things to deceive people, including this tongue-in-cheek Satanic Temple here. All right, as we progress, we're going to see that these things are actually teachings that have infiltrated, and I'm talking about all of them, anything in the occult, anything atheistic. We're going to see that they have infiltrated cults and world's religions. We're going to start off with the occult and then move into some core teachings of cults and world's religions. And when we get to cults and world's religions, that's where I'm kind of going to do my best to withhold names that I'm talking about. Most of these cults and world religions claim to worship God. They claim to know Jesus. But we're going to find that it's Satan just simply twisting, changing, distorting, diluting the truth, bringing them in some of these cases so close to the truth that it's even hard sometimes for us to distinguish the falseness, okay, the deception that's involved. Satan is a master deceiver. As for the occult, cults and world religions, these are designed to keep people from knowing the real Jesus. In fact, I'll just give you this. I'm not encouraging this, but I'm just going to throw it out there, okay? If you don't ever want to come to another Wednesday evening Bible study, all right, this is the last one you're coming to, all right? Here's the conclusion of all of the above. All of the above are designed to twist, change, and distort and dilute, here it is, who Jesus is and what he came to do. All of it. All of the deception boils down to that. That is Satan's goal right there, to dilute who Jesus is and what he came to earth to do. All right. I would recommend continue coming, though. Satanism, witchcraft, spiritism, atheism, idol worship, New Age, universalism, progressivism, works-based religions, Jesus-based religions, some of these titles I've just come up with, okay, but they describe what we're going to be looking at, and also tradition. I think tradition can keep people from knowing Jesus. From there, we're going to look at some of the devil's most creative work of all. We're going to look at teachings that are designed to confuse you and I. Teachings that are designed to confuse the church. Teachings, many of them, that actually have their origin in the Bible, but Satan will abuse them to, again, dilute, distract, confuse, and render. He's going to try to render you and I useless. Some of these teachings are so diluted that they actually utilize Satan's power. Some of these teachings are so distracting that they, beyond a doubt, bring blemish to the name of our Lord in the world. And rather than being doctrines designed by the devil, these are doctrines that are abused by him. And I'm going to call them trends in the church. Okay, that's about the end of January, early February. We're going to move into that phase of things and look at trends that have infiltrated the church specifically to make us useless. All right. Over time, some of these trends get corrected, but those trends that are not corrected, trends oftentimes that infiltrate the church that never get corrected, they evolve into false religions. An uncorrected trend in time becomes a cult or world religion. But of those that are corrected, there are some of the teachings that we're going to look at. They kind of go through time like a pendulum. All right. There'll be a teaching that'll come into the church, and it may even be a teaching that we can find in Scripture, but it is either twisted or maybe even so focused on that the rest of what Scripture says is kind of disregarded. And the pendulum will swing to one side in the church. Okay? There'll be a whole following of believers go to one extreme until somebody corrects it. Somebody takes a stand and they start saying, no, that's too extreme. You got to take the whole of Scripture. And the pendulum will start swinging the other way until it goes way to the other side, to the other extreme. And what Satan does through using these doctrines is he keeps the church from being right on target. And he'll have us to one side or the other, one extreme or the other, making us that much less useful for our Lord. The pastor that I took, that took my place after I served as an interim at a little church in Mitchell, Nebraska, when he first came in, he rightly recognized a trend in that little church that could take it to one extreme. They were kind of making their way to that one extreme. And as he came in, he started focusing on the opposing view. But he got in the 6 months, in 6 months that I was there while he was there, he took it so far to the other side. And I'll tell you, his correction I agreed with. I agreed with what he was trying to do. But he got so focused on trying to correct the extreme from one side to the other that he actually went to one extreme. It didn't matter whether the passage talked about this particular issue or not. He preached on it. And he did exactly what he was trying to correct. Okay, he brought this church. Well, he tried to bring this church from one extreme to the other, but he was so far the other way that within 6 months, he was fired. He became guilty of the very thing he was trying to correct. And so there are teachings that contain truth right from God's word, but the devil will abuse them and try to distract us. He'll cause believers to be so focused on perhaps one particular truth that they neglect others. And because these trends are so important that you and I know about them, that we're aware of them, again, we're going to spend the last half of our study on them. These are not all official terms, but here are some doctrines and teachings that a lot of them can actually be found in Scripture, but the devil will abuse them. The ecumenical movement, interdenominationalism, and no, I didn't just make that word up. The seeker-friendly movement, experiential faith. I'm just giving you the titles now. We'll actually spend whole classes on these. The charismatic movement, works-based spiritual maintenance, the prosperity gospel, positive thinking, baptism, Judaism, Reformed theology, covenant theology, Arminian theology, lordship salvation, dispensationalism, and progressive evangelism. These are some of the topics, and as we get into them, you'll see kind of what these words mean. A lot of big words here, I know, but a lot of them are connected to one another. There'll be classes on each of them. Some of them will cover more than one. But anyway, as I was putting this together, and this has been over the past, just in the past month that I finally decided this is the topic we're going to look at. I started, every time I came across a false teaching, I started writing them down. So we have no shortage whatsoever of things that we can look at. I can guarantee you we will not get through all of these, but for the next 26 classes, we're going to have a lot to look at. We'll get as many of them in as we can before the end of April. But these are some of the trends that we're going to look at, and while many of these are not Satan-originated doctrines, he does abuse them to make us less useful. So that is what we're going to look at through this study. And I'm just so you know, I am open to other teachings, perhaps that you might have heard about, or maybe you want to know a little bit more about. I mean, I've got my list here, but if there are some things that you would like to know more about, or maybe something that you think we might even dedicate an entire class to, let me know. In fact, just out of curiosity, is there something that popped in your mind right now that I didn't list? Greg?
Wicca.
Okay. Wicca. And that, actually, we will hit that in 2 weeks under witchcraft. John? What's that?
Chrislam.
Emerging now. Okay. All right. Chrislam. Okay. Yeah, he just any others come to mind? Surely, Scientology. Okay. Anything else come to mind? Now, Scientology is obviously the name of a religion, and I don't know if Chrislam is. That sounds like just a softened Christian toward Islam. Isn't that basically what it... Okay, okay. All right. Channeling. All right, and that we're actually going to look at that when we get to Spiritism. So, yeah, we will look at channeling. Anything else come to mind?
What about the prostitute church in the
end times? Okay, okay.
They'll be the one part of that would be the ones that will be distracted.
For sure, and the one thing about that particular religion is we really don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to be a worship of the Antichrist and the beast, but that is not happening like that in the world just yet. So, but good thought. Greg?
Are you going to get into the separation between state and religion?
Probably. Well, probably, you know, I don't know. It may come up because one of the topics that we are going to look at, actually on both sides, on the side of keeping people from Christ and even the infiltration in the church, is progressivism, okay? The idea of progress in the world, and that could fit into that. It could fit into that. I'm roughly 5 lessons into this study now, so we'll see what kind of information I come up with when we get to that. But
what,
all right,
is that religion where they won't go to a doctor or they won't take medicine?
Okay. And there's actually a few different religions that would hold to that belief. Yeah.
One,
yeah,
time about a child.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That they wouldn't take the
doctor. Right, yeah. Yep.
I don't know what they call that.
There's, like I said, there's actually a few different religions that would believe that. Anything else come to mind? All right, and I'm not asking so I can tell you we absolutely will cover those things you just brought up, all right? But if, you know, if I can, like with the Chrislam or even Scientology, I'm guessing that there are some other categories that I can fit them into when we get to a specific doctrine. All right, any thoughts or questions at this point? All right, again, this is more of an introduction, but we've seen some of the things that we are going to look at. Now I do want to look at why we're going to look at doctrines of demons. And I need you to turn, if you haven't already, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, and I want to read to you verses 1 through 8. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of a life that now is and of that which is to come. Here is why we are going to look at these doctrines of demons. And I've got three reasons here. The first one is we are plainly warned to be aware of them. We are very plainly warned to be aware of these false teachings. Why? So that we can identify them, avoid them ourselves as we encounter them, and we will encounter them, all right? You will encounter them. In fact, today we are being bombarded by them, all right, on a daily basis. So we'd better be aware of what they are so that you and I won't be deceived by them. So first of all, we are plainly warned to be aware of these false teachings. Secondly, I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. The beginning of verse 6 says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So I am told, and really you are told as well, right in this passage, that we should instruct people about these things. And in order to instruct them about these things, we need to know what these things are, why they exist, why people are so attracted to them, and how to counter them, what the truth of the matter really is. While I pastored a small church in Wyoming, this was after the thing in Mitchell, Nebraska. I was at a couple churches in Wyoming for about a year. One of the families in the church told me about a new doctor that they had in town. He just barely moved into town, set up a practice. They were very excited because this was the first doctor they ever had in this little town. And they began telling me that he belonged to a particular religion. And they had never, they'd heard of the religion, but they really didn't know anything about it. And I had heard and I knew a lot about it. And so that they would not be deceived by, in fact, I am convinced that this church sent this doctor to this particular small town so that he could influence them for this particular religion. Okay, so I informed this little church about what this religion believed. I wanted to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, so I gave them all kinds of information. We're plainly warned to be aware of false teachings. I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, it is profitable. It is profitable to know and teach about these things. In knowing truth from error, it will be profitable. In fact, our passage says it'll be profitable both in this life and in the life to come. In this life, it's profitable because we get to avoid being deceived. In this life, it's profitable because we can help others avoid being deceived. In this life, it's profitable because we can walk then in true godliness and continue to be useful for Christ. And then it's profitable in the next life because in the next life, we're going to be rewarded for our faithful ministry in this life. It is profitable. The Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And the later we get in these times, the more we're going to see this, and we need to be on guard and prepared. Never in the history of the world, or history even of Christianity, has there been so many denominations or divisions of Christianity. And I believe that is the devil's doing. Okay, he's doing it not only through false teachings, but the abusing of teachings in God's Word. whether it be a group that is on target separating from a group that embraces false teaching or the other way around, Satan doesn't care as long as some are falling away and division is taking place. Many cults and world religions, they started with one that fell away from the truth. He may have been a believer to begin with, but he led so many other people astray, and now through a cult or world religion that they started, they are keeping people from Jesus Christ. Right from the Bible, right from history, Ishmael, the son of Abraham's sin, Ishmael knew that he was blessed by the God of Abraham. Yet his descendants fell into paganism, they fell into polytheism, and then many, many years later, through another deceiving spirit appearing to a man in a cave, one of the largest religions in the world was born, Islam. Okay? And it all started with the falling away of Ishmael. Okay, he believed in the God of Abraham, but his descendants, not so much. They fell away from the truth. The Ku Klux Klan. Think about it. Famous for their white robes, pointy hoods, okay? Their stance on white supremacy. They started as a Christian religious sect. And here they are. Initially, it was right after the Civil War, the KKK once boasted nearly 4 million members. They terrorized, murdered blacks, Jews, Catholics, other minorities. The Klan still lives on today, and while their influence has dwindled, they still remain a secretive and dangerous cult. But their history, at least at its core, again, was a religious sect of people who called themselves Christians. That's where they started. David Koresh, you know that name? Branch Davidians, self-proclaimed leader of them. He convinced his followers that anyone not aligned with him was an enemy of God. His cult was the stereotypical apocalyptic doomsday cult built on a foundation of lies, terror, and blind faith. Koresh himself claimed that he was the voice of God and the Messiah. He used his power to regularly take advantage, sexual advantage of female followers. He moved his followers into a massive compound outside Waco, Texas. Eventually, the authorities investigated the compound after accusations of sexual abuse and child molestation, and then charges were leveled against him and the cult. And then, of course, many of you know the standoff of 1994 in which the ATF fired tear gas into the compound. It burned down and 76 people died as a result. But get this, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, but David Koresh claimed to have become a born-again Christian in a Southern Baptist church. Did you know that? All right, I didn't either until I was doing this research. He eventually joined his mother's church, the Seventh-day Adventists, and then later years led the Branch Davidian cult to death. That's the work of doctrines of demons. Heaven's Gate. That one's a little more recent, right? Heaven's Gate cult. They believe that enlightenment and salvation can only be achieved by fleeing earth before the great recycling. And since leaving earth is somewhat problematic, the leader of this cult preached suicide as the answer to leaving your body and reaching enlightenment. Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles were the leaders behind this strange cult. They prepared videos on how to leave your earthly flesh behind and distributed the video to the members. And then in 1997, as Halley's Comet arrived, Applewhite convinced his followers that a spaceship was trailing the comet and that those who followed him into death would be saved. Of course, they'd be transported to this spaceship. Applewhite then ordered 38 people to commit suicide in San Diego.
Look at China.
What's that?
Look at Jones.
Jim Jones. In fact, we were talking about him a little bit during prayer meeting, for sure. But here's something, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Marshall Applewhite was the son of a Presbyterian minister. And he himself attended seminary and studied to become a minister himself. He was led astray by doctrines of demons, fell away from the truth. And while these examples are extreme ones that I've given you here today, know that this Bible study topic that we are going to talk about is very important. I don't know about you, but in my life, I've seen a lot of changes in the culture, in the world, in my life. There are things that I've noticed that have dramatically changed. But in the past 10 years, it has been exponential. Does it seem like that way to other people too? Okay, I don't know if it's just because of the way my life has been lived and the things that I've learned, but it seems like things have increased exponentially in the past 10 years. I look at the homosexual agenda, and that is something that we are going to look at in the course of the study, because I believe beyond a doubt it is a teaching of the devil. But I look at, for instance, when I was a young teen growing up, as I watched television, the homosexuals as portrayed on TV then were kind of the comic relief. You know, they were the ones that on the TV programs everybody laughed at and kind of made fun of, all right? I think of shows like Three's Company. Anybody remember that situation comedy? Okay. And it was just a guy on there pretending to be gay, but he was the comic relief. It was the funny part of the show. To the point now where those that are portrayed as homosexuals on television are the heroes. They're brave ones. They're the courageous ones. It's completely and utterly celebrated. And I think in the past 10 years in particular, these teachings like that, and that's just one of them, but they have increased exponentially. And so I think the things that we're going to look at over the course of this series are going to be very, very important for us to know and understand, to understand not only what the doctrine is, but understand what the allure is, why the world is so attracted to it. And we're not going to have all of the answers, but most importantly, we're going to look at what God's Word says concerning it and how we might best counter and even protect ourselves from these teachings in our lives. So we are plainly warned to be aware of false teachings so that we can identify them, avoid them, counter them. We need to be equipped as good ministers of Jesus Christ, and therefore this topic, I pray, will be very profitable for us. Now, it is 10:02. So, any questions or comments, Ron?
Just some clarification. You know, in this passage on 1 Timothy, verse 6, where it says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, can you kind of just explain it? Because typically, brethren is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
So how are we to view or treat the instruction for non-believers or people that are in these cults and things like that?
No, I was referring it more, I was giving you reasons why I'm teaching this topic is because I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And the point in that passage is not so much bring it to the world. It is for your brothers and sisters in Christ who may not know. I am my goal through this series is to equip you to equip others. Okay. Other believers. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. But in the process of doing that, we are going to learn what the truth of God's word says pertaining to these false teachings. And that way, when we do encounter someone who is believing in one of these false teachings, we'll have some ammunition that we can give to them, some truth that we can give to them. But yeah, Bob.
There's one thing that seems to be common to a lot of cults or false religions, and that's basing your worth to God on works.
On works, yep. Yep. In the fact be known of all religions that believe in God, Christianity is the only one that has grace. Every single other religion that believes in God believes they have to earn their way to heaven. Yep. That's the difference between Christianity and religion.
I was once told that not to spend your time studying the false religions. Now, is that quoted in the Bible? Or is it just a man-made comment that was made to me?
I don't know of any place in the Bible that says not to study the false religions. In fact, quite. And I see what you're saying, because we can become so focused
on the
that's right, and no, that is absolutely not our goal. We want to look at the teachings that are in the world. I think it's very important that we understand. Absolutely, absolutely.
It's like the saying, "Be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves." But you have to know what not to believe. If someone is very convincing, you need to know whether that's a demonic doctrine or whether it's
for sure.
Something that Christ would
And really, you know, you make a point there, Laurie. The better we know this, the more easily we will discern the false doctrines. And I guess that's kind of the point of this series, is there might even be people in this room that are hearing some of the teachings in the world, and they're wondering, well, why isn't that right? That sounds logical to me. That sounds loving to me. And the point is we're going to point those doctrines out and then show them show all of us share what God's word says that is different. Okay.
Things, you know, and their little rules, and I choose. No, I choose God, and that's free grace.
Right.
That's grace.
Okay.
So you know, I understood right away. You know, no, this isn't right. But I do understand what you're saying.
Yep. No, and know this: we're not gonna.
I know.
We're not gonna glamorize these false teachings, okay? That's not going to be our focus. Yeah.
I've heard other people say similar type of statements, and I think that the warning is people who are curious about these other religions and trying to learn about those religions.
To the point they're doing
for the point, for the sake of learning, seeing what they've got to offer.
Right.
Whereas the purpose of this class is, what is it that they're offering so that we can understand what the Bible actually says about it. So it's more about learning, more about what the Word of God says versus what their religion is.
You know, it was the church at Ephesus. You know, Paul talked about growing in God's Word, learning what it says so that we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning craftiness of the deceiver. And he is out there deceiving. He's trying to deceive you. He is bombarding you through the media right now, trying to hook you with something. Okay, and we need to understand that he is indeed trying to do that. We need to come to that realization. He's very real. He's trying to do that, and we need to know what God's Word says in response to that. Derek?
I was just going to say, I mean, I agree with you guys. One of the reasons is to solidify what we already believe, but just to remember this, because there are so many messages out there. When you're deceived, you don't know that you're deceived.
Yep.
Okay, so with that said, there may be things floating around that you guys are hearing that as we go through this, you're saved, not like salvation kind of saved, but you're under an understanding of what the Bible actually says. And so as long as we're just open to the Spirit of God working our life with the truth, I mean, there may be things in the study as we come are like, whoa, I mean, I thought that was all good, but that's what God's Word actually says, and
right.
Now I understand it. And so just to keep it from that perspective as well, is because the devil is really good. I mean, he is kind. And there have been times that I've been deceived, not necessarily doctrinally, but just in regular life. And then when you come to the realization that you were deceived, it's a real letdown. Like, you're like, what the heck? What was that all about? So
yeah.
That's one of the benefits of this kind of study as well. So.
And certainly to arm us as we encounter people that might believe some of these things, but as I mentioned at the very beginning, I know that there are people listening to sermons and lessons on our website every single day. Okay, there are people that hit and listen every single day, and I don't know what their spiritual condition is. You know, they might be unsaved. They might, for the first time, hear, "Hey, yeah, I believe that. That's exactly how I believe." And then as we go through and share the truth of God's Word, it might convince them otherwise. So,
it's studies like this that teach us how to put on the full armor of God. Be ready for it.
For sure. All right. Any other thoughts? Questions? Well, Lord willing, we'll be looking at Satanism next week. And we're going to look at how the Lord handled that himself. So let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for just your word to us. I thank you for the place in time that you have put us right now. Lord, while it is very, very ugly out there, I can't help but think that you have us right where we are at this place, at this time, for a very specific purpose. And Lord, as we go through this series, I do pray that, Lord, you would move in our hearts, that you would convict us perhaps in areas that we need to be convicted. Father, there are a lot of teachings floating around out there that are very, very dangerous. You know that. And I am convinced that a series like this could serve as not only a protection for us, Lord, but even a means to better distribute your truth to those who have bought into these false teachings. So, Father, again, I do pray that you would use this study, that you would use this series, and I pray that we would be usable to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.